Y'all hear me now? Let me say it again. Howdy. How's everybody doing this morning? Boy, has it been exciting this morning or what? God is good. You know, it has been a great week at Vacation Bible School, Wanted for God. But it, like I said, it just amazes me the amount of work that goes into having something like this. All the planning that it takes to make it come off. And for it to be like it's supposed to be, where the kids enjoy it, the kids learn something. You know, we just finished it, and it was great. But, you know, it probably didn't go exactly like we planned it to every single thing. You know, we just planned it and just did the best we could, and then we had to go with what happened. You know, every single day we give the message of Christ. We give the kids a chance to hear about Jesus. We taught this one verse all week long, and it goes something like this. It says, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And these kids learn this verse. We actually would have a contest. Who can say it, you know? You get a piece of candy or you get to be the first in line for pizza or something. But it was just amazed me that these kids knew the verses and it meant something to them. You know, we're just getting started. There's a lot of work that goes on here at Common Ground Cowboy Church when it comes to our children. We've got youth that's starting to come up. We're going to be starting a program for the youth, and it's going to take a lot of work, and we're just kind of getting started. It's kind of like you're saddling up, and you've got everything there. Everything is ready to go, but you haven't put your foot in the stirrup yet. You're just not quite ready. There's some things here at Common Ground that we're not ready for, but we're on our way, and we've started, and it's a big hats off to y'all, the members here, the body of Christ here at Common Ground Cowboy Church, about what God's going to be doing in the future. You know, but we really got to be careful about when we're working with youth and working with children, especially on a week like this where you're up here every single night, you're doing things, I mean, in the heat. It's easy to get tired, it's easy to get frustrated, and it's easy to get burned out. But this is exactly the type of situation that Paul was talking to Timothy about. Timothy was on the mission field, he was out there working and doing his job as far as teaching and preaching Jesus Christ, the message of Christ to the folks there in the town he was at. And this is what Paul told him. He said, you know, athletes, this is in 2 Timothy 2, 5 through 6. Athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hardworking farmers should be first to enjoy their fruits of labor. You know, it's kind of funny that he would put athletes and farmers together in the same verse. But let's look at it. Let's kind of break it down a little bit. Athletes, you know, can you imagine an athlete getting himself ready for a race, all the stretching and all the conditioning that he had to do and the eating that he had to do to get his body ready? We had some folks that did run the race this weekend, didn't we? Did anybody do the race? Yeah, hold your hands up if you did. I know Sharon did, Claudia did, and there was Leslie and Tori. There's a bunch of them. And you did it too, Cassidy. Oh, they're upstairs. I was going to say, how'd you do it with the arm thing, you know? But, you know, they had to get ready. They had to prepare their bodies for that because it's a long thing to have to do. But just imagine an athlete getting his body completely in condition, ready to go, and he heads out, the gun fires, and he takes off running. And, I mean, this athlete is ready. And he is the fastest one there, and he is running ahead of everybody. Matter of fact, he's leaving everybody behind. And he's not even winded, and he gets all the way to the end of the finish line, and he gets right up to it, and he just stops and refuses to cross the line. And everybody just pew, pew, starts passing him up. Finally, one of the guys that had passed him up turned around and said, "Man, what did you stop for? You were right there ready to take the prize. You were going to win it." And he said, "You know, I just got a little tired. You know, I got just a little winded. I thought I'd just take me a break." He did not win. He said, "You know, but I could have won if I'd have wanted to. I could have won. It'd be just like a roper if he got out there and he purposely missed." That happens to me a lot. I didn't do it on purpose, but I do miss. I didn't intend to. But for someone who is really good to get out there and do it and then get right up to the point and go, "You know what, I think I'm just going to throw this rope right in the dirt." And his other partner's going, "Man, what'd you do? Did you do that on purpose?" "Yeah, you know, I just didn't want to win." We live our lives like that sometimes as Christians. We live our lives that way. You know, we get tired and we think, "Oh my goodness, this just being a Christian is just too much work. I think I'm just going to sit back and watch other people do it." Ever done that? Man, I have. I did it in the mud thing. I did it when we had the mud day. I let all those poor ladies out there do it, and I stood back and watched and got in on the cleanup. So this, he's talking to me, you know, because we get exhausted and we get tired. You know, a farmer or rancher has crops or cattle that they raise. You know, they'll work till they're totally exhausted. Let's pick the rancher. He'll work till after dark trying to keep his calves and his steers and his cows and his bulls all healthy. And he raises them up so that at the end of the time, he can benefit from whatever he sells. Same thing with a farmer. He raises them. He does everything he can do. He sprays them. He gets them all, getting the vegetables all ready to go so that there is a time of harvest. And it says here that they should be the first ones to enjoy their labor that they have raised up. Paul is telling Timothy, though, here in this scripture, he says, "You know, son," he said, "don't get lazy. Don't slack off. Keep on keeping on. Keep in mind one thing, and that's the harvest." The harvest. That's what we look forward to. The day that you take your cattle to the sale, that's the harvest. When you get your crops in and they're, and it's just bountiful, it's more than you can imagine, that's your harvest. We as Christians, what is our harvest? What is he talking about? He's not talking about vegetables here. Not in reality, not in Christians' terms. He's not talking about cows, taking them to market. He's talking about the souls of the folks in our community who are lost, the ones that need Christ. That's what he's talking about. He's telling Timothy, he says, "Look, man," he said, "the prize is there for you to grab. Don't get lazy and don't slack off. Keep one thing in mind, and that's the prize that is at the end of the race. You know, don't lose focus on and get distracted." Boy, it's so easy for us to get distracted, isn't it? With everything that goes on in our lives, we go, "Well, you know what? Preacher, I'm just too busy. I'm just too busy in my weekly duties to tell people about Jesus." That's a bunch of hogwash. I hate to tell you, but everybody has a second. Everybody can live the life. Everyone, when you have an opportunity, when someone is around you, I know that the Holy Spirit right now is probably putting in at least three or four names of folks that you could talk to about Jesus. At least just a few. Some of us, it might be a whole lot. It might just be one, that one person, that one neighbor, that one guy that you rodeo with, the guy that you work in the cattle pens with. One man, one woman that needs to hear about Jesus, something that you have that they don't. And this is what Paul's talking about. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul tells him this also. He says, "You know, work hard so you can present yourselves to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly explains the word of truth. You know, there's lots of things that we need when it comes to enduring. That endurance that we need. That's what we're talking about this morning, is having enough endurance to make it to the end of the race. Not be like that athlete that had all the endurance he needed till he got right up to the finish line and just stopped working. He stopped moving. He stopped going forward. He said, I'm just going to stop right here. I'm satisfied with what I've got now. What are some of the things we need when it comes to endurance? What gives us endurance? One of the things that we need to keep on going on is encouragement, isn't it? For us to encourage each other and lift each other up in prayer. You know, patting each other on the back and saying, just like all these leaders that were here this past week, doing that, they weren't doing that for themselves. It was selfless. They were giving up their precious time to be with those kids. Man, that is such a big deal, y'all. That is beyond belief for me that folks would actually do that every single day for a full week. What a blessing that they were for those kids. You know, positive words encourage instead of giving negative ones. Not tearing somebody down, but lifting them up. Saying, you know what? You're doing such a good job. How can I help you? That's encouraging. You know, a lot of times I've asked that to many of folks, and they go, no, I'm good. You got anything going on? Do I need to help you? No, I'm good. And they got more work than they can handle and they can do themselves, but yet they say, no, I'm good. Anybody guilty of that? Yeah, I'm telling you. I don't know why I'm preaching, because I'm talking about myself too. People will say, you need help? No, I've got everything covered. But that's just the way we do it. That's the way we roll. You know, we think that we can't ask somebody for help. You know, the second thing that would help us to endure is to lay aside anything and everything that hinders us. Let's look at Hebrews 12, 1 through 4. Hebrews 12, 1 through 4, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. Put off everything that slows you down in the race. Man, I tell you, just think about it. Finding out, you've got to do that. You got to find out what it is that's hindering you. And it also says to get rid of any sin that causes you to stumble. You know, those two things, they sound kind of alike, hindering, things that hinder you, but what's the difference between something that hinders you and the actual sin? Sin is disobedience. It's when we disobey God, when we know the right thing to do. A hindrance could be anything from we let our work get in the way, we let other folks get in our way, we let things that are good keep us from serving God. It might be ball games. It might be going to rodeos. I don't know. Whatever it is, you ask the Holy Spirit, what is it that keeps me from serving you like I should, from doing the job that you want me to do? Those are the things we have to shake off and get off so that we can do what God tells us to do. You know, You've got to stand for something and against something. You know, cowboys aren't known to be quitters, are they? I mean, you just think about it, guys. I mean, we have ranchers that come up and they go, you know what? They look at all that they've got to do and they go, I need some men that when I ask them to come and do a job that I don't have to worry about it. That I call them and say, guys, show up at 7 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, whatever time the day starts, and I need you to go out there and work. I need you to gather the cattle up and get them ready. You know, if you just looked at that one little process, say he hired a bunch of guys to come out there, and the guys, man, they get everything done. They get all the steers almost to the pen. Now, they've worked for a pretty good while just to get them there, and all of a sudden, I just said, whoops, we're done. And the rancher goes, hey, guys, I don't need the cows over here. I need them in the pen so that we can ship them. And they go, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to take a break. I got a little bit winded. I'm just a little bit tired. I've never heard a group of cowboys say that. I mean, if anything, they're just like a pit bull. Anybody know what a pit bull does? When he grabs a hold of something, he don't let go. Well, that's the kind of tenacity that the Bible is talking about that we need. So we've got it, guys. We've got it, ladies. We've got that tenacity. We know how to complete a job. We know how to get it done. You know, with all the work that there is to do in God's kingdom, not just in this church here at Common Ground, but all across America, all across Texas, all the kids that it said, I heard something this morning. I was listening to a message this morning on the TV, and the preacher said that 70% of the people in Texas are not Christians. 70%. Can you imagine 70%? This is considered the Bible Belt in the South. We're supposed to be the Christians, but yet we're dwindling away. Why is that? It's because of the kids that we're raising are not coming to Christ. We're not telling our children. We're not telling our teenagers. They're growing up to be adults without Jesus. You know, if you don't think that's true, you go to the workplace and just find out how many people are Christians. Just ask them, say, hey, are you a believer? Are you a Christian? You'll find out real quick that they're not. If we're not going to be the ones that's doing the job, if I'm not willing to do my job, if you're not willing to do your job that you have at Common Ground or for the Lord, who's going to do it? Who's going to take the time that it takes to do it? You know, if Jesus could, it says here, if Jesus could endure the cross, if he can endure all the pain and all the insults and all the things that he had to go through and die for us, Paul's saying, what is our excuse why we don't serve him? He said, because you haven't yet shed blood for him. You know, I've said this before, but I truly believe that the Muslim religion has taken over this world. It's taken over England. It's taken over France. I have some friends that are missionaries. They were missionaries to France. They couldn't even get in the country if they said they were Christian. They would not let them in the country if they said, well, we're Christians and we're going there to do the Lord's work. Wouldn't let them in. Said, nope, you're not welcome. I think that's the way it's going to be here. They're taking over and taking over this country like a grass fire with a 100-mile-an-hour wind. What do we stand for? What do we believe? What are we doing as Christians? It's kind of like we're just letting it happen and kind of watching, kind of like that guy standing at the finish line watching everybody go by. I think it's time as believers in Jesus Christ that we stand up and say, by cracky, no more. No more am I going to stand by and watch my children grow up without Jesus. Man, there are kids in this area out here. There are teenagers in this area. There are young adults. When I came to this church, we had very few young adults. I'm not tooting my horn. I'm tooting Jesus' horn. Because Jesus, that's the one thing I prayed for. I said, God, I know the future of Common Ground, it dies with the youth. It dies with the young couples, the kids that have children. God has been blessing that effort, hasn't he? Amen? I mean, you look, we have sometimes 50, 60, 70 kids up there at a time sometimes, busting out of the seams, having to make new rooms, and we're talking about adding on to the back of the building just for the children, just for them. That's not including what's going to happen with the youth very shortly. You know, Jesus himself runs the race with us. He runs in front of us to show us the way that we're supposed to go. And he prepares it for us. He runs beside us in case we fall down. He picks us up and carries us till we can get our feet back under us and we can keep going. And he also follows behind us and runs behind us to protect our back and to encourage us. That's what we need to be doing with each other. We need to be running with each other, looking out in front of each other, trying to help each other do what needs to be done, and to watch each other's backs. There's enough people in this world to tear us and catch us from behind and attack us without us attacking each other. Amen? Son, there's just if you don't think, there's loads of people out there just like to take the head off of a Christian. You know, we need to be watching out for each other and lifting each other up in prayer. When someone's sick, man, we should be running to them, giving them food, whatever they need to keep going, you know. Say, this is not the end of it. This is just a bump in the road. Whatever you're going through, it's just a bump, you know. We help each other and we love each other and we encourage each other and we protect each other. What we do, we should be doing for Jesus. Amen? If not, who are we doing it for? The race that we have in front of us is the race of life. It's the race of a Christian. And our prize is waiting at the end. To me, the prize is not the salvation. We have salvation already. The prize, I feel like, is all of the folks that we made a difference in, that we plugged into. You can't be a Christian if you're not willing to invest in someone else's life. If you're not willing to put yourself out there and say, hey, you know, Jesus, look, this is what Jesus did for me. You know, I know that there's Facebook and we Twitter and I don't twit. What's the other one? Twitter and Insta. I don't Insta either. Maybe a little instant chocolate, but that's about it. But all the things that you do with the internet, you know, posting, you know, little godly sayings and stuff. That's, I'm not saying that's bad. That's good. But that's not enough. That's not giving part of yourself. That's not giving part of your time. That's not investing yourself in other people. When you see other people are hurting and down, and you've got the solution, you've got the medicine right here to give them, and you go, I'm not going to give it to them, backcracky. I'm just going to keep it to myself. Basically, that's what we're saying. When the world is going to hell in a handbasket, and all we have to do is just tell them about Jesus. My goodness, why don't we? Amen? We'll spend the rest of our life running this race with Jesus. He's running with us, in front of us, beside us, and behind us. And it's going to be going on for the rest of our life. I say, bring it on. Bring it on. Let's get this done. because the prize is worth it. Jesus is worth it. We have not got to the point to where that we've had to shed blood for Jesus' name. Now, he says it may come a day when you have to, when you say, they say, are you a Christian? Yep, boom, it could happen. It's happening all over the world. If you think it can't happen here in America, what's that critter that sticks his head in the sand? An ostrich. Doesn't want to see what's going on. Like that guy standing at the finish line watching the world go by. Just because you don't think it's going to happen don't mean it won't. Bring it on. Bring life on. If God is with us, y'all, if he is truly with us and he is our Savior, it says in the Scripture, who can be against us? Who could stand up against God? Nobody, no thing, no object, no person can stand against the power of God. And as believers, we need to tap into that. We need to tap into that power. If you knew that you had that kind of power and you lived it every day, if you got up in the morning and you said, I have the power of God living in me today, what do you think your day is going to be like? It's going to be great. If you start out today and go, holy moly, man, I need 2 gallons of coffee. It's going to be a bad day. I just know it. This is going to be a bad week. I can just feel it. I'm looking at all the things that I got to do this week, all the things that are on my calendar. Any of y'all got one of them things? I hate them. I got one. Look at the calendar and you go, oh, I don't have time to go to the bathroom if I do all this on my plate this week. With the power of Jesus Christ living in me, there is nothing that I can't do for him. Nothing. I don't care what it is. The Bible says if you have the faith of what? The size of a mustard seed, what can happen? You can move a mountain. Well, I'm not ready to move a mountain today, but I tell you what, I think we need to start serving God like we have the power of God living in us. And not being shy. I'm not talking about pushing people around with our Christianity. I'm not talking about being rude. I'm talking about being helpful and letting them know that we love them and that Jesus loves them and Jesus cares about them. Amen? Bring it on. Let anything that life can throw at us, whatever Satan can throw in our way, I say, bring it on, Satan. If you think you've got the power of God, I'm sorry, you're wrong. My God put you in your place. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just come to you, Lord, just thanking you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we could do nothing in and of ourselves, nothing. We need the power of you, Lord, the living God, flowing through us, Lord, to be able to do what needs to be done. You always pick probably the least person. In my case, that was it, Lord. You picked me to be a minister, Lord, for you. You picked the worst one in the bunch for me to come. Father, but I thank you. You still speak through me, though I'm not worthy. No. Lord, none of us are worthy, Lord, to do your work. But I pray, Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would start making a difference in this world for you, that people would see Jesus, Jesus' love flowing through us, that we actually care a flip about people, that we actually love them, and we care about what happens to them, not just for today, not just for tomorrow, Lord, but for eternity. I pray that we do that, Lord, before it gets too late. I feel, Lord, that the time is running short for us to serve you. I pray, Father, that we'd step up to the plate, Lord. We would put our foot in a stirrup and we would mount up. with the power of angels and the power of God himself, Lord, that we would do the work, Father, that you have before us, no matter what it is, and not be afraid to do it. If there's anyone here, Lord, that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, then they've never asked you to come into their heart. They've never accepted the free gift of eternal life, Lord. I pray that they would not leave this building, Lord, for they get that right. That they come to me or one of the elders or one of the lay pastors, Lord, and get through the prayer, Lord, of receiving Christ as their Lord and Savior. That they can start the road, Lord, of their life for you. If there's someone here, Lord, that doesn't have a church home and they're looking for one, Father, I pray, even if it's not here, Lord, I pray that you find them a church home that they can serve in, that they can do your work. Father, I just pray for the loss of this community. Lord, I know where it's headed, and I pray, Father, that you help us to make a difference, that you would make a difference through us, that you would use us as ambassadors here on earth for you. I just thank you for what you're going to do. I thank you for the Holy Spirit being here this morning and speaking to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen. I want to welcome all the visitors here that are with us here at Common Ground Cowboy Church. If this is your first time, we want to say welcome. Glad you're here. We have a can back in the back there that we put our tithes and offerings in. We don't pass the plate around here. If you are looking for a church home and you want to join Common Ground Cowboy Church, we have a green sheet back there that you just fill out. It's real easy, you know. You just fill it out and put it in that can, and you can become a member here with this fellowship. Believe me, this body right here does care about each other. We love each other. We try to take care of each other every day, day in and day out. If you don't believe it, ask somebody that's been in the hospital or has been sick, and they'll tell you right off what God does through the folks here at Common Ground. If you have a prayer request this morning, we've got a box back there just on the right side of the door. You can write it down. You have a prayer request. Even if you don't want to say what it is that you have a need for, just put on there an unspoken request. I'll pray for you, and I promise you that I will. I hope you have a blessed week. I just pray that God blesses you and gives you an opportunity to serve him this week. Y'all have a great day. Bye-bye.